This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:19 a.m, Wednesday the 12th of August. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking with political commentator James Chin on the Perikatan National Government's approach to Sabah and Sarawak rights. Now, we're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account, asking you, in your view, who is the most prominent Sabah politician? Tell us your pick, especially if it's not one of the ones that we've listed. So right now on our list, we have Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal, Tan Sri Musa Aman, Bung Mokhtar, but of course, we're limited by our Twitter poll space. So let us know what you think. But right now we are turning our attention to multilateral trade agreements because, I mean, Noel, remember the CPTPP?
Yes, you know, this long acronym, right? I just cannot get it right. CPTPP, the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership, which, you know, just as a reminder, it evolved from the original Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, after the US withdrew from the agreement, I think in 2016 or 2017, I think because of Donald Trump. He's not really interested in this. Anyway, Malaysia was one of the 11 countries which concluded the CPTPP in January 2018, but we have not ratified this agreement, and I think for various reasons.
Yes, so recently there was a bit of a debacle in Parliament. Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dato' Sri Azmin Ali, arguing with former finance Minister Lim Guan Eg over Pakatan Harapan's stance on the CPTPP. Did they agree to ratify it? Did they not? It's all a bit up in the air. So we're still unclear as to the direction of the Perikatan National Government when it comes to the CPTPP. But to help jog our memory on what it's all about, we're speaking this morning with Aidona Jan Ayub, Deputy Research Director at the Khazanah Research Institute. Thank you for joining us today, Jan. Now, bring us up to speed on what's happening with the CPTPP at the moment. What's the current status since it came into force in 2018?
Thanks for having me on BFM. So from what I gather from MITI's website, is actually we're looking at 7 countries who've entered into force the agreement out of the 11 countries. The remaining countries are Brunei, Chile, Malaysia and Peru. But in general, the CPTPP signatories have been keeping busy. So this includes Malaysia, because Malaysia is a signatory country. And they've continued to meet since the agreement entered into force because they are dealing with the implementation of the agreement. And I think their latest meeting was done virtually, probably due to COVID-19. And this was hosted by Mexico sometime last week.
So does Malaysia still have a role to play at these meetings, given that it's only a signatory and has not ratified the agreement?
I think to a certain extent, yes, because this is dealing with clarifying things regarding the implementation of the agreement. So it's an understanding of what was agreed and how do we implement it. So because I figure Malaysia still has an intention to keep an eye to possibly ratifying the agreement, then they would participate in those talks. Because if not, they might have problems if and when they do want to ratify it and implement the agreement.
The billion-dollar question is, why hasn't Malaysia ratified this agreement yet?
So the short answer is, I'm not sure. So I know Malaysia has to make some changes in its policies, in the laws and regulations to be in line with the commitments we made under the CPTPP, but I'm not sure of the status of those developments. When I was doing some research on what the issues could be, one thing that did pop up, although it might not be the main issue, was investor-state dispute settlement or ISDS. And although there are legitimate concerns regarding ISDS, we should also keep in mind that Malaysia has already signed more than 60 international investment agreements. So the idea of ISDS should not be new to Malaysia.
So given the economic fallout of COVID-19, would it be advantageous for Malaysia to be part of the CPTPP in order to reap some of the trade benefits?
It would be interesting to see how the trade relationships might have changed in a post-COVID world, but I don't have an immediate answer for you on that one. But in general, reaping the trade benefits can be done through unilateral liberalisation, which we actually saw during the COVID-19 pandemic times in the earlier months, because we saw that many countries worldwide, including Malaysia, were very swift in taking action to ensure that there's a smooth flow of imports into the country, particularly on areas such as medical supplies. And this was all done unilaterally. But FTAs are not the only tool to address trade issues, but it can be an important signaling tool, for example, to foreign investors and to trading partners in general. But it's also good to keep in mind that CPTPP isn't the only mega FTA to look at. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or RCEP, is an agreement that covers ASEAN and 5 or 6 other trading partners. So from the news reports that I gather, they are aiming to get that signed by the end of the year. And it's an exciting agreement, particularly because we're dealing with our neighbours. So it's the ASEAN member states, it's China, Australia, New Zealand and Japan. And it's a good opportunity to strengthen and improve our current trade relations with our neighbours.
How would you respond to comments that the RCEP is an inferior agreement compared to the CPTPP?
Yeah, the devil is in the details because it's what you put into the agreement. The concern is legitimate because in the case of RCEP, you do have least developed countries involved. And it would be unfair to push a very high level of liberalization or very high standards on these countries, which is why ASEAN sometimes takes what is known as a two-speed approach. So whereby the more developed countries will take the higher commitments and the least developed countries are given more leeway to be able to make the changes that they need to do before they take on the higher commitments. The aim is to try to increase the pie in general rather than slicing it up and giving a slice of cake from one country to the other. We want to increase the pie in general. And therefore, if that means that countries like Malaysia and Singapore and Thailand will do what needs to be done, while at the same time, we are maintaining ASEAN centrality, because so you're bringing your neighbours along with you. When everyone is happy, hopefully everyone gets to prosper together. That would be the best case scenario.
There's been some outcry from certain quarters like the trade union who object to Malaysia ratifying this agreement. Do you have a sense of how the current government will navigate this issue compared to Pakatan Harapan?
I don't know. So one indication, as I've said, is that we are still part of the committee meetings or the meetings involved in terms of the implementation of the agreement. So needless to say, the other CPTPP countries are probably still hopeful. But domestically, this is a large agreement and it has many issues that it's covering. So deliberations should be done quite carefully. It's a very large agreement that covers so many issues, and it's hundreds of pages long at least. So I sympathize with the people that were in charge of doing the outreach, because it's a very big exercise to be able to do that when you are covering almost all sectors in the economy and different issues that you need to slice and dice to different stakeholders, because it means different things to different stakeholders. The agreement is available publicly now, that particularly now that it's signed. So moving forward, there is more transparency before we ratify to be able to understand what is in the agreement.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Jan. That was Aidona Jan Ayub, Deputy Research Director at the Khazanah Research Institute. And if you want to learn more about trade agreements and how it affects Malaysia, KRI published a book on this, which you can find on their website for free. It's titled Malaysia's Trade Governance at a Crossroads. So, and it does provide good insight into some of the issues involved in the CPTPP, as well as other free trade agreements. And don't forget to vote on the poll that we have running as well on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. Ask you, in your view, who is the most prominent Sabahan politician? Right now, Shafi Abdal is in the lead, but do let us know what you think. Up next, the question of, is President Donald Trump overstepping Congress? And will Joe Biden's VP pick help him win? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.